Hello and welcome to episode number 38 of the Adventure Within Reason podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Kelly.
And today we're here to record our much belated episode on Charles Lindbergh State Park, which is up in Little Falls, Minnesota. We visited here for the second time back in December. We're here currently in March of 2024. Back in December, we visited there for the second time. The first time was way back in October of 2020. So it had been a bit of a break between visits, and both times it was a little cold. I think this time it was colder than the last time we were there. And this is just, we say this all the time, but this is just one of those parks we, every time we're there, we say, why don't we come here more often? This is such a great park, and it's such a fun little town that it's adjacent to. You know, I'm always rocking on my hobby horse about how great it is when state parks are in or on the outskirts of small towns. It's really nice to be able to get the creature comforts of civilization after a good hike. And Little Falls is a great place to get a drink. We even went into an art gallery, bought some postcards and some greeting cards. Yeah, what else does Little Falls have going for it?
It's just overall a charming small town. I think we were there on a weekend after stuff had kind of closed down, so a lot of the shops weren't open, but really enjoyed it as a small town. We had a great time.
Well, before we talk about our most recent visit here, I'd just like to, as I often do, I'd like to read my journal entry for the first time. As listeners know, we are in the hiking club and the passport club, and the perks of that, of paying the, what is it, $15 to join those little clubs, is that they give you a nice spiral-bound little journal that you can write your thoughts on, you know, that you can journal about your visit in. Back in October of 2020, I wrote the following. We fell in love with this park almost immediately. Gorgeous trails and fort bridges, thanks to the WPA. Lots of good bird watching too. Unfortunately, the park station was closed for the winter, so I'll have to send a letter to the DNR asking for a pin. Yeah, that's happened more than once the last few years, but that's okay. Birds spotted, nuthatches, chickadees, hairy and downy woodpeckers, golden-crowned kinglets, blue jays, and a yellow-bellied sapsucker. I don't remember on this most recent visit if we saw any birds beyond those. I know we didn't see kinglets because, it's just not the time of year for them. I would imagine that we saw a lot of woodpeckers, probably nuthatches, maybe a brown creeper or two. But yeah, we were there in the thick of winter. There was, you know, a few inches of snow on the ground.
The only time we saw snow in a state park this winter.
Yeah, it's been an unseasonably warm winter, which, you know, if you go back and listen to some of our really early episodes, that's something that we kind of, allude to, is that over the course of this podcast, we're probably going to have to periodically bring up some unpleasant realities, which is that things are getting warmer here in Minnesota. It's one of those things you just try not to think about too much because it's you're kind of hopeless to do anything about it as an individual, and there's nothing really, seemingly nothing being done on the political level to really to curb that in any way. So it's just unfortunate to think about some of the really rare species of wildflowers that might not be around in 100 years. I'm thinking of the dwarf trout lilies at Nerstrand Big Woods. I would imagine that if winters are shorter and spring and fall are longer, that's going to mess with their whole cycle.
Yeah.
I can't speak with any authority on that, but I can't imagine that it would have any positive effects. We've alluded to the fact that scientists, biologists, zoologists, I don't know who's in charge of these sort of predictions, but it has been said that loons in 70 or 80 years might only be up in Canada or maybe like the northernmost parts of like New England in the summer, because it's not suitable to be where it's too hot. So anyway, enough on that for now. Let's just talk about our last visit here.
So dear listener, excuse the throat clearing. One of the things I want to talk about is David and I have not gotten out this winter as much as we normally do. I mean, our state park use always scales back in the winter because, like everybody else in Minnesota, maybe not everybody, I know a lot of you are very active, but we do like to hibernate and, you know, embrace the changing of the seasons and spend more time listening to music and reading and doing indoor things in the winter. But part of the problem with getting out of the parks this year is that the trails have sucked. They've been really terrible. It's just you're walking through mud and really churning up the trails, and it hasn't made for very pleasant hiking, which has really deterred us from getting out as much as we want to. So this winter has been horrible and existentially draining, and wow, yeah, I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about last winter when we took that what would be considered by many to be a foolish decision to take a winter trip up to Grand Marais, Minnesota. But I actually stand by that decision. I think it was really great to get up there and experience winter. I would much rather have just consistent cold, like very cold, sub-zero. I would rather have consistently frigid weather than like this back and forth of getting like just above freezing and just below freezing. And then you get out there on the trails, and yeah, it's muddy. It's almost not worth the effort sometimes if you're going to be hiking in certain places, because yeah, you can't even really focus on what's around you. You know, you're just trying to watch your next step so you don't slip and fall on the mud, as happened to you at Jay Cook recently.
Yeah, another sort of horrible side effect of this winter is that, dear listeners, get your deed out, because there are already ticks through Minnesota, which is horrible and something I never thought I'd have to say in March, but it's going to be a really bad year for ticks because it never got cold enough to kill them off. So I think maybe, David, that's enough climate doom and gloom for today. I'm okay to move on to something else.
Yeah, let's just get back to talking about our most recent trip here. What I like about this park is that right off the bat, you park your car and you can admire some CCC structures that were built. There's kind of a flat portion of this park that, you know, I believe used to be part of the Lindbergh family estate. I suppose we can touch on that a little bit. The Lindbergh is, Kelly will, I'll let Kelly handle most of it, but basically the Lindbergh family, most of us are familiar with Charles Lindbergh, flew the Spirit of St. Louis across the Atlantic in the late 20s. What was it? 27. Yeah. Incidentally, I remember as a young boy, there was a big Spirit of St. Louis exhibit at the St. Louis History Museum that my dad took me to. And I was so disheartened when I found out that he actually wasn't from Missouri. You know, we just grow up, you know, there's a big street in St. Louis County called Lindbergh Boulevard. And it's like, you know, he's kind of treated like this local boy done good. And you find out, oh, no, it was just like these businessmen that thought it would be, you know, they had investments in St. Louis and thought, oh, yeah, call it the Spirit of St. Louis. That'll be good promotion for us. So it really had nothing to do with Charles Lindbergh himself, who was, from an hour or so north of the Twin Cities in this little town called Little Falls. His family was a very prominent, the equivalent of the landed gentry back in Europe. You know, of course, we don't have classes in America. We're all a classless society. Yeah, the Lindbergh family, obviously, were of the upper class. All sarcasm aside, a lot of land holdings. What was his deal? Was he a doctor or was he just like an investor that got into politics?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, that's basically the long short of it, is just guy who had a lot of money that he didn't really work for, and his son liked to fly, liked to toot around in planes, and later became a Nazi, which is kind of like, you know, one of those another one of those things that was not prominently featured in that that historical exhibit that I went to in the early 90s when I was a young boy, but it was kind of one of those open secrets, you know, like the open secret that he actually had no connection whatsoever to St. Louis, Missouri, where I'm from. Anyway, when you get to the Charles Lindbergh State Park, you're on like this flat portion of land that is sort of above where all the hills are, or I'm sorry, where all the trails are. And there's a CCC water tower, a CCC park structure, like a parks building, like a, I always forget what you call those, like where you meet for picnics and parties and stuff. Like, you wouldn't call it a pavilion. What would you call that?
No, it's like a
picnic shelter. That's the term I couldn't remember. So yeah, you'll see a really impressive, I assume it's Fieldstone, CCC constructed water tower, picnic shelter. These water towers are not operational anymore, as far as I know, but the picnic shelters still are. Like the picnic shelter down at Flandreau, or what are some of the other CCC constructed picnic shelters that you can think of offhand? Is there one at Interstate? I feel like there's one at Interstate that we haven't actually seen in person, but we always read about down by the campgrounds there. Anyway, if your memory is better than mine, when we upload this, you can chime in on the comments and tell us about your favorite CCC structure, picnic shelter or otherwise. But when you get to Charles Lindbergh, you park and you can admire those. Bring a lunch with you if you like. If it's not it's not winter, I'm sure it's a great place to have a picnic. Kelly and I always tend to end up here either in late fall or sometime in winter. But if you go there in the summer, there are lots of opportunities to take advantage of the outdoors, to do something other than hiking, which is to say, you know, have a nice picnic.
Yeah, for this park, if you want to enjoy the picnic shelter, I think your best bet is probably Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day weekend, because it is not a park that is staffed in the off season. So when we were there in October a few years ago, they were already closed for the winter, and obviously they were closed again in December. So if you want to take advantage of some of these structures, get out there during the summer.
Something I wonder, you know, I mentioned Flandreau a second ago. Flandreau is basically in the town of New Ulm, Minnesota. And when we've gone there in the summer to visit the swimming hole, you do get the sense that it is a place that is popular with the locals, you know. And I wonder if Charles Lindbergh isn't the same,
yeah.
In that sense. I could definitely see a lot of people who just live in and around Little Falls going there to have a picnic. So I don't know how much the competition is, you know, to make use of that resource there, but get there early. That's always good advice. Get places early, you know, get there at like 9:30 a.m. to have your picnic, or just have an early picnic. I don't know. You'll figure it out if you want to do it. But what all did we do here this time, other than deal with the mud, and the cold? We had a little incident where our parents got us a new water backpack for hiking.
Oh, I forgot about
and
that.
And we thought it was faulty. We thought it was broken because it started to leak water. And then we realized that I had just not screwed the top on, which normally is not, that's normally not a mistake I make, but, you know, nobody's perfect. I just didn't screw it on properly and it started to leak. And, fortunately, I don't think you yourself got very wet,
no.
But the backpack, I think we just kind of put back in the car and just carried some water bottles and with us, or I can't remember. It's not important. It's not interesting to the listeners out there, but we had one or two minor missteps before we got on the trail. And then what did we do? Did we just do the hiking club trail again?
Yeah.
Which is about, do you remember, is it about 2.5 miles or is it more than that?
I think it's about two. I'm going to take a quick pause, David, and talk a little bit about the park itself. So like you said, there are some great WPA era buildings. Also, kind of on park grounds, kind of not, but run separately by the Minnesota Historical Society and open during the summer, is the Lindbergh House and Museum. So this park was made from 110 acres of Lindbergh family farmland, which was officially transferred to the state for a park in 1910. It is one of the reasons I really love this park is that it is in kind of the deciduous strip of forest area in the state. And it's right on the edge of the coniferous forest. So you get some really beautiful pine stands to walk through. And I don't really know what it is about being in pine forests. I'm not sure if it's just a mental association that I have or if this is actually a true thing, but it always feels much quieter than any other part of a forest that I'm walking through. I'm not sure what that is. If anybody knows audiology enough to be able to tell me why that might be, that would be cool. But otherwise, I would just say that this park was a really restful place to be, especially because, you know, our lives were kind of tumultuous in December. It was, you know, the holidays make everything kind of stressful, and I was going through some job transitions, so it really felt good to be in this really quiet space, which maybe, David, is a good lead-in for this other thing that you want to talk about.
Yeah, not quite ready to talk about that yet. I just want to say something. I want to say something about the way we structured our trip here, which is that we sort of combined it with a little overnight trip to St. Cloud, Minnesota. You have a little bit of personal connection to St. Cloud. It was kind of one of your haunts back in your college days, right? So what we found out is, the long story short, is that we had some travel and accommodation points from something you had signed up for years ago. You forgot you had them. We ended up with a free hotel night stay, free stay at a hotel. So we took advantage of that and said, well, let's stay in, you know, Little Falls is a little too small to maybe find good accommodations, but let's stay in St. Cloud. It's a hop, skip, and a jump up to the state park, and we'll just have a little day trip. Yeah, you were going through a job transition. My work schedule is a little non-traditional, so it's kind of easy to get away for a couple days here and there in the middle of the week. Yeah, this is something I kind of recommend to people out there is if you're able to. I know a lot of people work normal business hours, office hours, like Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, 9 to 5, whatever. But if you have any leeway there, or if you work, you know, if you work in the service industry and you work non-traditional hours, or maybe you're an over-the-road truck driver or something, and you're just your off days are when you get them. Try to get out and visit state parks and visit small towns in and around state parks, like early or middle of the week. You'll have a lot easier time, parking, for example. Sometimes you go to like William O'Brien State Park on a Saturday and you like can't find a place to park because there's so many people that go there. I'm sure we could all think of other analogous examples. Yeah, Nerstrand or a lot of the North Shore parks. If you go there on a Saturday or Sunday, it's always good to see other people, but sometimes you want a little bit more quiet time and you don't want to be out on the trail with, 100 other people like is maybe the case if you visit the parks we mentioned or Interstate State Park or someplace like that. So I would very much recommend making a midweek trip somewhere and just, stay in a nearby small town. And as I like to say, enjoy the creature comforts of small town America. You've got nice restaurants, bookshops. I bought a lot of books and comics on this trip in addition to appreciating the outdoors. That would be my advice. And maybe this is self-evident. Maybe everyone already does this, but I always feel that it bears repeating that, you can have the best of both worlds when you plan your state park trips. All that being said, this is not related to Charles Lindbergh State Park, but there have been a few articles the last like 6 months or so in some of the periodicals I subscribe to. This is from the October 2023 issue of In These Times, which is I've been a subscriber to In These Times for many years now. And an unfortunate recurring news item that you see is that increasingly in a lot of places, we saw it here in Minnesota, state parks are being closed and decommissioned. In the case of Upper Sioux Agency, that was a little bit more complicated than the story I'm about to read to you, which takes place in West Virginia. But what you're seeing is that states, Department of Natural Resources are claiming, we just don't have the funding to operate these parks anymore. We need to bring in the private sector to, pick up that slack. And West Virginia is unfortunately sort of a case study in this recent trend. I just want to read a very short paragraph from this article by someone named Ellie Heffernan, who wrote this article called "Don't Pave Paradise" in the October of 2023. So I've been sitting on this for a while. I forgot to bring it up the last couple episodes, but it's something that I would encourage all of you to kind of just do your own research on because it's. It's not pleasant news, but I think it's important that we're all kind of aware of this trend. In the case of West Virginia, let's bring in private developers. Maybe they can help us bring in increased traffic to some of these parks. So this is from Don't Pave Paradise, this article. In December 2022, the West Virginia Division of Natural Resources had invited private companies to submit proposals to build campgrounds and recreational facilities in the park. The agency says that the move was, quote, continuing on the path of growth and sustainability, end quote, by helping the state park system become increasingly able to pay for itself. Opponents, however, say the proposals, one of which included mini golf and fake snow for tubing, would irreversibly change Cacapon's character by creating a hectic carnival-like atmosphere. And in a state long dominated by the coal and natural gas industries, it sounded like a new version of an old story, out-of-state corporations extracting wealth from their state's natural resources. This is so disheartening to hear about, and in one sense, all of this is neither here nor there, but in another sense, I'm more inclined to sort of see is that, our discussions are all kind of connected because we're not just talking about one park or the other. It's all making up a sort of a broader discussion. So sometimes we're going to have a section of an episode that isn't specifically tied to the state park in question, but that's just the way it goes. We're not perfect planners, far from it. Let's get back to Charles Lindbergh. And do you have more on the history or have we covered all of that?
We've pretty much covered it.
Yeah. We always say this, but I think every state park has a Wikipedia page.
It does, yeah.
So in that sense, please don't rely on our podcast as a definitive resource on the history of the parks, on a detailed description of the trail layouts, anything like that. This is a personal journal, which in my case often leads to, unfocused rambling. So I apologize to that. We always say that The Adventure Within Reason podcast is sort of our personal journey so that we can remember some of our own little anecdotes about these trips. And you know, we're always happy if people want to listen along and sort of partake in that and come to the group hikes and things like that. But yeah, please, please, please understand, we are not and do not aspire to be a definitive chronicler. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Chronicler of Minnesota State Parks. You know, this is just our two cents on these things. There are much better academic resources for understanding the state park system than us. And yeah, Wikipedia is one of them.
So going back to this park specifically, the hiking club trail here is probably on my list of favorite hiking club trails, David, along with, I'm trying to think of the ones off the top of my head. Bearhead mm-hmm. Lake is my all-time favorite hiking club trail, I think. I also really love the hiking club at Gooseberry, two-thirds of the hiking club trail at Blue Mounds. Yeah, those.
Half of the one at Beaver Creek Valley. Did you already say that?
No, I love the whole hiking club trail at Beaver Creek Valley. I just have to be in the right mood to do the kind of grind on the one end of that park.
Yeah.
Which, great plug, check our events page. We are having a group hike at Beaver Creek Valley. You can meet my parents, the originators of my love of the outdoors. okay, so this hiking club trail, it's just magical. It goes along the little creek there for a little while. I think if you're there at the right time of year, you could probably see a lot of wood ducks. There are certainly a lot of wood duck houses up. And then it kind of meanders back through some prairie that's gorgeous. You know, it's gorgeous even in the off season. And it also walks, like I said, through that really beautiful pine stand, a couple of them, actually. And it's just so peaceful and lovely, and it's just a really great hike. I would put, there are a couple places where the trail gets pretty narrow, so I would put this at easy to moderate hike, probably.
Yep, I concur. It's a great hike, a good mix of landscapes, habitats, whatever you want to call them, prairie into forest. And, you know, I'm always inclined to really be fond of the sections of trails that go along creeks, and this trail begins and ends along what is the name of the creek there, do you remember?
Pike
Creek. Gorgeous even in the winter. Something else we always say is that you shouldn't just completely stop getting out there in the winter. You know, get some yak tracks for your boots, get some trekking poles, get your mittens and your gloves and your scarves, and just make the most of it. Yeah, there's always something to appreciate about state parks throughout the year, with the exception being that, yeah, maybe you can skip the prairies, the parks that are heavy on prairie habitats in the winter. Save those for the spring and summer and perhaps a little bit into the fall. But yeah, there's so much more to appreciate about those. And I'm talking about like southwest Minnesota or like west central Minnesota. Maybe northwest. I haven't been up northwest, so I don't want to make that claim yet. But yeah, save Blue Mounds for July, you know.
but go early on that July day.
Yeah,
the reason we say don't go to the prairie parks in the winter is because we're prairie boosters on this podcast. We love our native prairies. And if you see them when they're not in bloom, you think, oh, this is a gross, desolate, horrible landscape. I thought that way for a long time. But when you see them in the summer, it's just, they're beautiful. And there's so much going on and so much to kind of discover in them.
Should we maybe do some plugs for our upcoming group hikes? Or do we have more we want to talk about with Charles Lindbergh?
I'm good on Lindbergh. We should do some plugs for Ashley's Vegan Sweets. Great sweets to have out on the trail. We love Ashley. Her truffles are awesome. Check out Ashley's Vegan Sweets on Facebook. And David, I have something that I'm going to want to close out with today, but Why don't you plug our upcoming podcasts? Nope. Group hikes.
So we've gone to the trouble of planning six upcoming group hikes from March up until August. Maybe we'll plan one or two more. Probably not. This is a kind of a good number. We always encourage people to plan their own, you know, group outings with other adventurers. Feel free to use our Facebook group, Adventure Within Reason Podcast, and plan and facilitate your own group outings. Kelly and I will do our best to be there to join you, but with our work schedules and everything, it's not always going to be possible, but we will do our best. So please feel free. On that note, if you ever want to plan like an official Adventure Within Reason group hike, we will create an event page for you and help you promote it, regardless of whether we are actually able to attend. But again, we'll try. So coming up on Sunday, March 24th, 11 a.m., We'll be doing a non-state park group hike at the Wood Lake Nature Center in Richfield, Minnesota. I will be bringing along the official Adventure Within Reason propane camper stove to fry up some vegan burgers. And of course, we'll bring along condiments, plates, all the accoutrements that you could think of that go along with burgers, toppings, chips, fizzy waters. Yeah, all that good stuff. But if you want to bring something to share, feel free. But we'll have all the basic building blocks of a really good lunch. Saturday, April 27th at 10 a.m., we'll be meeting at Nerstrand Big Woods State Park. And we're really, really hoping that we'll finally be able to see the dwarf trout lilies in bloom. With spring arriving much sooner than it typically does, you know, there's a good chance that we're going to miss them. On Sunday, June 9th at noon, we'll be doing a group hike and picnic at Cicada Lake State Park, which is about, an hour and a half southwest of Minneapolis. This is going to be exciting for us because every time we end up at Cicada Lake, it tends to be in the winter.
Freezing.
And you start the hike right along Cicada Lake, and that wind just cuts across the water and cuts you proverbially in half. It just cuts right through to your bone and just severs you because it's so harsh. But anyway, that shouldn't be the case on Sunday, June 9th at noon at Cicada Lake. Join us. The normal deal. Kelly and I will provide the main fixins, whatever that will be. Maybe burgers or hot dogs. And feel free to bring along whatever. And we are willing to share the camper stove with you if you need to warm something up. Sunday, July 7th, also at noon, we'll be meeting at Flandreau State Park in New Ulm. I would hope that we all kind of do the same thing during a group hike, but maybe you don't want to hike. Maybe you just want to show up and take a dip in the swimming hole there. You know, we all have cell phones in this day and age. We can make that work. If everyone wants to kind of do their own thing, but maybe meet up for a beer at Shell's afterward, that's fine too. But we are planning to do a group hike, which means probably at least 2 or 3 miles at Flandreau. And I would like to at least take a short dip in the pool. I don't normally like to swim for very long, but you know, maybe half an hour or so, cool off. I think they have shower facilities there. So I would imagine by July, it's going to be pretty hot and muggy. And this is in southern Minnesota. So it's probably going to feel, be a few degrees warmer than it is even here in the Twin Cities. So just bring whatever you need to be comfortable. Even if you don't swim, it might not be a bad idea to bring a change of clothes or at least a change of underwear. I mean underwear in the general sense, like t-shirts and socks, not just your gonch, whatever they say up in Canada. And just so you can kind of, you know, if you decide to hang out with us at Shell's afterward, you don't feel totally sweaty and gross. I don't know. I tend to be much more fastidious when it comes to these things, especially in the summer. I have a change of clothes with me everywhere I go because I hate feeling sweaty and sticky and all that on a humid day. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Sunday, August 4th at 10 a.m., our final group hike, in all likelihood for this year, will be at William O'Brien. And same deal, group hike and swim. There is a section of William O'Brien that you and I have never actually been to. It's on the eastern edge of whatever that highway is that runs north of Stillwater. But it's right along the St. Croix River. And there's a beach there, apparently, that you can swim at. So we are going to hopefully take advantage of that, but we're definitely going to take advantage of the trails and get out there. Yeah, appreciate the birds. Maybe pick a few berries. The blackberries should be in season. Maybe some... Have you found raspberries there, or is it usually black?
Usually blackberries.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if the bears haven't gotten there yet, then we will pick a handful of blackberries to enjoy. And yeah, I think that's it. Hopefully people will make the time to join us on some of these group hikes. That has really become the main impetus for us continuing this project, is to see our friends at state parks, make new friends when we can. And appreciate nature, appreciate the Minnesota state parks together. I know a lot of us like to get out there by ourselves or just with our partners. But it's always good to make it a little bit more social from time to time. And we hope that you all appreciate the Adventure Within Reason group meetings. That sounds way too formal. Meetups and group outings as much as we do, because we look forward to these. But by the middle of winter, I'm already looking forward to the spring spring meetups. So we're almost there. I'm starting to feel that itch, you know.
Okay, listeners, I want to end this episode on a little bit of a personal note. So I went through a pretty rough job transition in December when my nonprofit closed. And I have spent a lot of time thinking about what gives us meaning in life. And I think if you haven't gotten it yet, David and I feel closest to the divine or the sacred or whatever you want to call it when we are in the outdoors. So I've been thinking a lot about that and doing a lot of reading. And I was reading Douglas Wood's Paddle Whispers, which is a book that we really love at home. And I wanted to close out today with a reading from that. Growing seems to be a common trait among living things, but I wonder if anyone's ever done it better than an old pine. If you're a pine, growth seems to have a lot to do with making the best of where you got started. Sometimes that's just a bare bones, blustery, rocky outcrop of a place, inhospitable, with little soil or shelter, nurturing or encouragement. It may take a long time, but somehow you come to grips with it, this starting place. You reach and reach, stretching needy roots over naked granite, through tiny cracks, down into crevices, until you finally find the footholds, the stability and sustenance you need. Then, someday, somehow, you transcend, growing up while at the same time growing down, and growing out, growing through all kinds of disasters, growing through them. And that's all there is to it, it seems. Grow, down, out, up. Don't stop, just grow. Simple enough, but maybe it's the hardest, most important thing in the world. Maybe everything depends on it. Maybe the whole world depends on it. So, wishing you growth until our next episode. Have a great week, adventurers.